Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, back from an unexpected two-week hiatus, and everyone who's asked, yes, I'm doing just fine. There was just a small family emergency that kind of took me away from my ability to edit videos or write scripts or any of those normal things I get to do during the work week, and instead had to take care of some issues going on at home. And fortunately, things are more or less sorted out now, so we should be back to our normal schedule. And today, to kind of get back into that normal schedule, I'm going to do one of our multifaceted episodes. And remember, these are our more unscripted, less edited, and basically more off-the-cuff episodes, where I want to take something that's been an interesting topic to me recently, or an interesting topic in the community, and try to reflect on it, learn a little bit about it, and try to see, well, what about this is so interesting, or what about it are we getting wrong? And in this case, I want to see, as you might have guessed from the name of this deck list I have at the screen next to me, I want to talk about Toxic, Infect, and Poison counters in Commander. So Poison counters are one of the alternate win conditions that you can see in a game of Magic. According to Rule 704.5c, if a player has 10 or more Poison counters, that player loses the game. You ignore this rule in Two-Headed Giant and use Rule 704.6b instead. Now, if we look at 704.6b, it says that in a Two-Headed Giant game, if a team has 15 or more poison counters, that team loses the game. Interesting. So, there's a format of Magic where, because of adjustments to the way the game is expected to be played, you use a different alternate win condition. Okay, let's take a look at Two-Headed Giant. So, in Two-Headed Giant, we see that... There we go. We have two teams, two players each. You may have enjoyed this if you've gone to a pre-release, for example. Each team has a shared life total that starts at 30 life. So, in normal, heads up, 16-4 Magic, each player starts with 20 life. And it says that poison counters in Two-Headed Giant go from 10 is the lose condition to 15 is the lose condition. Interesting. So, naturally, it follows that shouldn't Commander have 20 poison counters instead of 10? Well, that's not actually the case. In Commander, the rule is still 10 poison counters and you are eliminated. Why, though? A lot of players ask this question, and it's a very legitimate question. It seems like it's only natural that when we have more life in the format, in order to facilitate longer games where life can be used as more of a resource, shouldn't it also be that we're able to take additional poison counters before we die? Let's dissect this a bit, and the reason I picked Morophon as our Toxic Crusader here is it does give the most options for us to be able to actually dissect this and learn a little bit more about poison. So, I'm going to search for Oracle text that includes Toxic or Oracle text that includes Infect. And we see there are 131 possible cards that have this result. So, Toxic is the latest take on Infect. Infect originally came from our Scars of Mirrodin block, which was our first return to Mirrodin. Infect states, as you can see on Blight Mamba, that the creature will deal damage to players in the form of poison counters and to other creatures in the form of -1/-1 counters. That means if our little Blight Mamba deals 1 point of damage, when it gets through unblocked to a player, that player is going to take 1 poison counter. Now, because of some cards out there, like Glistener Elf, for example, a 1/1 with Infect for a single green mana, we have an entire modern archetype, which, depending on who you talk to, it's maybe tier 2, tier 3. I don't follow in modern enough to be able to give you a good analysis of that. But because it deals combat damage in the form of -1/-1 counters, your goal is basically just to swing in with Glistener Elf, hit it with a pump spell or two, and ideally one-shot your opponent out of the game. And you can theoretically do this in Commander as well. And this is where we start to see some of the issues that Infect will have in Commander. In order to replicate much of the same strength that you see in 16-4 formats like Modern, you need to essentially empty your hand with combat tricks in order to get your elimination. Or you need to stack a lot of enchantments into play in order to get your creature's power up, maybe putting something like Rancor on there to give the Glistener Elf +2/+0 trample, so it has a little bit easier time getting through. But as we're going through these cards, and notice that not all of them actually are in fact or toxic, you will notice that they're all, for the most part, pretty small and dorky. They're not very likely to be able to go tall over our opponents. If we actually do make use of pump spells, there's a reason you don't see very many decks that rely on pump spells in Commander. It's a great way to empty your hand out and leave yourself in bad shape to your other opponents. You may have gotten one elimination, but then you have one or two cards in hand and one tiny dorky creature in play, and you're basically at your other two opponents' mercy until you draw another powerful pump spell. Not something we see a whole lot in Commander. Now, looking at the newer mechanic as well, we have Toxic, and if we scroll back to the top here, we'll get a good example of Toxic on Annex Sentry. Toxic 1 means players dealt combat damage by this creature also get a poison counter. Toxic 1 means one poison counter. You also see there are other creatures who have Toxic 2, which means that if they deal combat damage to a player, they get two poison counters. Multiple instances of Toxic will stack. So, for example, Rule 702.164b. A creature's total Toxic value is the sum of all n values of Toxic abilities the creature has. The example being, if a creature with Toxic 2 gains Toxic 1 due to another effect, its total Toxic value is 3, which means, yes, if it gets through, it'll deal 3 poison counters to a player. But, unlike Infect, you cannot just throw out an Anthem effect and have your creatures get +1/+1 and have them deal additional poison counters. So looking back on all the creatures that we potentially have access to, in, again, 5 colors, we're looking at a lot of small, dorky creatures. We have a go-wide type strategy. And in most go-wide type strategies, we would be looking to try to use Anthems in order to bump our creatures up and be able to take opponents out more quickly. And our toxic creatures, which were added to our pool recently, don't really do that. A toxic one creature, such as our Pestilent Siphoner here, even if we were able to give it +5/+5 off of Beastmaster Ascension, it's still only going to do one point of poison counter to our opponents. They're not going to be eliminated by that any quicker. Yes, it will make our creatures with Infect, like Phyrexian Crusader, more effective, and they will be able to eliminate players more quickly too. But you can see some of the tension between the new Toxic mechanic and the original Infect mechanic. It doesn't stack very well. Now, it also leads to the other issue that players who've been playing Infect for years have noticed. When you're playing Infect, you're basically on the table by yourself. You need to eliminate each of your other opponents. That means you don't need to deal 10 points of poison damage in order to win the game. No, you need to deal 30 points of poison damage in order to win the game. It's better to think of poison not so much as a loss condition, but as a victory condition. And if you take the poison count from 10 to 20 for a given player, that means an Infect player is going to need to deal 60 points of poison damage in order to actually win the game. Now, you might be saying, John, you completely forgot about Proliferate. Once you can proliferate, once you have that one poison counter, you're just going to win the game. You just slap down Atraxa and 10 turns later, I mean, they're dead. Well, great. That's a 10-turn clock. That's going to take a long time to be very effective at removing your opponents. Yes, proliferate can be a powerful way to get those last few points of poison damage in, so let's take a look next at all the cards that give us the option to proliferate. And we see across all 5 colors, including Atraxa here, we have 73 options to be able to proliferate. A lot of them are centered in green, black, white, and blue. Not surprising, since those are Atraxa's colors. And I think there's a total of 2 cards in red that do it as well. But really, there is very, very little that you're able to do outside of those colors. Now, most of the cards which actually provide the ability to proliferate are relatively overcosted for what they do. It does look like that Wizards has done a nice job in this set of throwing Proliferate onto a lot of different effects. But I think at the end of the day, we are still going to be leaning on some old standbys in Proliferate in order to make it work. Thrumming Bird, for example, looks like a phenomenal way, as always, when it deals combat damage to a player, Proliferate. That can be really powerful because you can do it repeatedly. There are also strong cards like Flux Channeler, 2 and a blue from War of the Spark for a 2/2 human wizard. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, Proliferate. Although, if we think about it that way, we're probably going to be playing a lot of creature spells in this kind of deck, so maybe that's not ideal. Evolution Sage. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, Proliferate. That is a potentially useful way to get multiple poison counters and keep them coming. And then we have a mono-white version of Thrumming Bird in the form of Grateful Apparition. 1 and a white for a 1/1 flying with whenever it deals combat damage to a player or planeswalker, Proliferate. Cool. So there are a number of options that you could potentially use to proliferate. But I'm still not convinced that we can build a deck which is going to be able to efficiently remove all of our opponents and win the game using poison damage. At the end of the day, remember, the poison player is still trying to eliminate all their opponents by themselves. Unlike the other decks that are dealing damage through combat or other spells, if I'm playing the aggro deck and one of my friends is playing a Voltron deck, their commander is still doing that damage in the form of loss of life total, which indirectly helps me get closer to eliminating that opponent as well. When you're playing poison, you don't have that option. The damage that your opponents are doing to your other opponents simply doesn't work along the same axis that you're attacking upon. Those poison counters, it's basically up to you to get them up there and in order to reach the points you want, 10 each for each opponent. Ultimately, I fall on the side of the argument that says that as is, poison at 10 counters for each player is perfectly adequate, and I don't think that additional changes are needed yet. That about does it for this multifaceted episode. I'm going to play around a little bit with this if you want to hang around on our next video that I'll be posting shortly, and see if I can actually build a poison deck using all 5 colors. I'll probably wind up trimming it back and getting rid of red ultimately, but for now, I wanted everything open to me. If you want to watch that, be sure to check out the channel. If you have any questions or comments, you can let us know on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. You can add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG, or you can send us an email, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. I'm John, this is Gemstone Mine, and it's good to be back.